Alright, there's gotta be something on.
They say the word shit like 100 times.
You make the bully drink piss.
Whoa!
What is this exactly about?
Sean's parents are basically on the verge of a divorce.
We'll come back to bite them in the ass later.
I always wonder, like, why was it always that kid's problem?
Did you see that?
But I'm sure I'm quite drunk enough to see Meet the Beatles.
Of course, yeah. Nobody saw it. You know why? Because no one saw this movie.
It's like Avenue Q, only worse.
Yeah, it was definitely a rental for me.
On 3D, plus the IMAX 3D, plus the other theater had it.
Which was not really that hard.
Wait, where did he come from?
Get it up.
One of those covers of the Video Store, you remember?
Oh, this is that movie? Yep, of course. Yep, what in the hell is this and why is it on my TV? Yeah, I'm gonna have to catch this from the beginning.
What am I watching?
A bunch of people are sitting out on a curb. Guy coughs, spits into the puddle on the street. All of a sudden a car comes by, splashes the puddle onto all the passengers. Cuts to the word coronavirus.
So it's been a month of being locked in. If no one had told me, hey, there's a global pandemic right now, I would have probably not known for the first couple weeks.
The state shut down everything with any public venues. I'm unfortunately considered essential, so I'm out in the world every day and trying my best not to kill my family.
How are you guys doing with this amazing global situation we find ourselves in? Happy quarantine! Sandlot's huge. Well, should we actually say hi and do like an actual intro to this episode, or should we just keep rolling?
Absolutely.
And we'll do intros at the end, you know, like we'll keep everyone guessing out there.
Who is on this call?
There's a little bit of a feel of like, you know, you just join conversations midstream on some of our stuff. But
let's all just do accents, just mess with everybody and just start
pretend we're somebody different.
Well, yes, hello. Yes.
And part of this is also continuing our Living on Lockdown series, so we could also do a quick hi. How's your quarantine been for the last 2 months since we did one of these check-ins? But I guess going down that path, I'm Dave the Clone from the Hollow Knight Network, and here we are again in What Am I Watchingville on another one of our Living on Lockdown series, where we're going to be talking about, as the summer gets started here, all the summer movies we're going to watch to show us what life used to be like when there wasn't a global pandemic keeping us all inside. And maybe we'll get to do some of this stuff again. But I guess following the
You say Living on Lockdown, it sounds like an Aerosmith song.
Oh my God.
Living on Lockdown!
Yeah, Living on Lockdown!
Okay, you just threw chum in the water. All kinds of piranha came to the surface on that one. Well, why doesn't that voice go? The voice, the only one on my screen that doesn't have a picture to go with it. Professor Klink, why don't you introduce yourself and then pass the torch along.
Hey, everybody. How are you? Welcome to Still Quarantine.
Chris, why don't you go next? We got Chris Stiles joining us as well.
What up, guys? How's everyone doing? Apologize in advance for my endless movie ramblings. Hopefully you'll find them endearing.
It's a good thing you tuned into a podcast about movies. We've also got Miss Carrie Ann joining us in the upper right corner of my screen. How are you doing?
Hello, Dave the Clone. I am doing well. Thanks for having me back, despite my long missing stint.
The absence.
Thank you.
Well, it's a universe where time doesn't exactly work the way it does for everybody else out there, so they might not even notice.
Fair point.
And back on the mic with us again, we've got Courtney and Noah sharing a screen at the bottom of mine. How are you guys doing?
We're doing good.
We're fine. I don't know what lockdown you're talking about, because here in Georgia, we have no lockdown.
We stay inside, I promise.
We do, but...
Oh, there we go.
I don't know what you're talking about. We just bought a fan at Walmart, and I don't think I saw one mask.
Oh, wow.
Really? And I just went to Home Depot, and it was crazy. I drive up, and they have all these barricades and these signs. They literally have what looked like an armed cop with a badge and a gun. And they were like, you had to follow this row through, and there was this giant sign that per the governor of Virginia, you must wear a mask. And it said, like, socks, scarf, shirts, everything of those is acceptable. But I walked in, I like stopped, I looked at the cop, I'm like, do I need to do anything? You need to check me? He just kind of laughed. He's like, nah, you're good, go on.
Yeah, complete opposite.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'd rather that here than...
Yeah.
So how long have you guys, how long has it been open down by you guys?
Oh,
over a month,
month
now.
A month and a half, probably.
Yeah, probably a month
wow.
and a half.
Wow.
Yeah. And I mean, it's one of those things, you know, it's like you'd think it'd be kind of slow going, but I mean, as soon as the restrictions were lifted, like the big restaurant bar kind of community hub in town, the parking lot was just absolutely packed, and you know, people are spitting on each other.
We live in such a small town that like it hasn't been crazy yet really for us, but I mean, Atlanta has spiked crazy, Savannah has spiked
yeah.
crazy because Memorial Day everyone went to the beach, and that's same
yep.
with like, that's why Florida was so bad.
Wow. You know what's interesting, can I make one interesting comment about
no.
all of this that's going on? Like
you're not
okay,
allowed
no,
no. you're not allowed Ian,
but nobody likes me. No, you know what's fascinating about all of the like what we're seeing and what you guys are seeing, I am so reminded of Night of the Living Dead, and like any of the earlier versions, the Dawn of the Dead, Night of the Living Dead, or even the 90s
Night of the Comet.
Yeah, well, yeah, Night of the Comet, where it's this, it's the people that you don't want to be in charge in a way end up are in charge and are actually taking control of certain things, and they've got guns and they got certain looks, and I'm not saying anything about their looks, I'm just saying
that they're
that
all
in
cops.
All these movies.
Oh
yeah.
God.
Sorry, you're not saying that.
And
oh, my bad.
It's like Roadhouse, except nationwide.
I didn't say it, you know, but it's like, I think about Georgia, I think about that, you know, of what you are probably
yeah.
seeing in Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Is
pretty gross.
Yeah,
that
that's
exact
a fair
scene.
It's almost like a People of Walmart meme, but in real time and moving about.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They're on the move. Yeah.
That Whoa. Is wild. You know, I guess at some point that would be inspirational, though, right? Because there's a lot of creativity, isn't Atlanta? Like, sort of like Hollywood East or Southeast these days. There's a lot of production going
sure.
on. So you'd think it would be a little bit
more. Really,
we're 4 hours out of Atlanta.
We don't really spend a lot of time in Atlanta. We've been there once
yeah.
for a concert.
We live in a tiny
yeah.
college town in like Eastern
Yet
Georgia.
Neither of us are students.
Yeah.
So we look like students, but we're not.
Well, that also starts to make you wonder, like, are they going to still need this? Like, are we going to get to the point where we're going to stop needing as much of this stuff because they don't want us to go outside anymore? And that's, like, the
yeah.
dystopian future I'm really hoping to
no.
avoid. You
that's
know
when
what
I
mean?
Join the revolts, Dave.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
And then
I won't live that way. It's like my cat. You know, everyone said, oh, she keeps going outside and bringing you dead animals and she's going to live a shorter life. And it's like, yeah, but she's going to live a full life because she's a wild animal and she wants to kill and stalk and she wants to be outside. And I can lock her inside for 20 years and she can get fat and be on diabetes medicine, but I think she'd prefer this. So anyways, I just went on a rant about I'd rather live a short life where I get to experience things than to be locked in my house all the time and get fat.
Good things to learn.
You just gave the Karen Allen speech of cat moms. Like, honey, I want you to go out and scrape your knees. I want you to get into some trouble. Like, how many moms will say that?
Wow, man.
Not
brought it right back
not,
to the Sandlot. Well done. Well done.
Actually, me. I was that mom.
Yes, we all need that mom.
Yeah.
So are you guys...
Oh, I'm sorry.
No. Chris, go ahead, man. Take the floor.
Oh, I was just going to say, you know, how do you guys want to dive in on this? I was about to segue into summer movie mom.
Since you totally pulled us into the Sandlot, man, that was a well-played move there.
I will say this. I start off every summer season when I finish my classes. The first movie I watch is The Sandlot. It is not summer until I watch it. So we did it the other day. I went to a friend's house. The kids are about 10 and 8. They're like the perfect age to watch The Sandlot. So we got pizza, watched The Sandlot. And you know what I love about The Sandlot? I think The Sandlot has the best script writing ever. In the history of cinema. For a couple of months.
That's
first
a bold
is,
statement.
It is. And here's why. Smalls goes, hey, I got an idea. Why don't I go knock on the door and he can get us our ball? And they're like, no, you can't do that. That's stupid. You'll die. The very end, James Earl Jones' character, Why didn't you knock on the door? I would have gotten the ball for you. And they all start hitting Squints. And the best line that Squints has, he totally negates that guy in the audience by going, "We got the ball back." Yeah. It is the best way to actually stop that guy in the audience who goes, "Why don't they just knock on the door?" And then to bring it up and Squints to go, "This whole movie, what you just said doesn't matter because we got the ball back. Thank you very much. You can all go home now."
That is a solidly tight script and screenplay. And I'm going to bastardize a quote from the great Martin Cove, who said that, and he was talking about The Karate Kid. But, he said, any movie is lucky if you get one line that enters into the pop culture, like, zeitgeist, you know, one, like, anything, you know, and Karate Kid is one of those movies that gets a lot, and Sandlot has a lot that went into the pop, you know, You're Killing Me Smalls, what, you know, Wendy Peppercorn, like, there's a lot about that movie.
Forever.
Yeah, oh, yeah, totally, yeah. The
lotioning and oiling and lotioning.
Yeah, your tongue was hanging out of your head and you were all Wendy Peppercorn. Oh my god. Yeah, a kid who was named Yeah, and then the two brothers who kept like that movie has a nostalgia that like makes me regret not having that childhood. You know what I mean? When you watch that movie, you're like, man, I wish I had my crew. I wish we had a Sandlot that we had to defend against the preppy guys. Not that we haven't been talking about Airborne a lot lately, but you have those preppy baseball players who show up in like they're really like perfectly like laundered uniforms, and they're like, yeah, look at this little like ragged grass that they play on. You know what I mean? And they totally get their asses kicked. I loved that the street ball players kicked the official team's ass too.
Although it's interesting.
Sorry, Ian.
I was just gonna say, what's also interesting though is they actually directly rip off Problem Child 2 by doing the vomit scene on the roller coaster. Anybody notice that?
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was like, well, that's kind of brave. I'm sorry.
There are a few. No. Well, I'll tangent off of that because I love that too. I'm sorry. I'm sorry if I keep if I talk too much, but okay, so yeah, the ripoff of Problem Child 2 is funny to me in a different way. Like, it's so not funny that it's hilarious. Like, that kind of humor is like, it's the same thing as later on with like the chefs and the cake during the dog chase, and it's like, oh my god, this big cake, like I wonder if they're gonna drop it, like I wonder what's gonna happen, and just like cake in the face, like you know, and oh god, now don't make me talk about Problem Child 2 because I love it, and Nippy and Chow Down and shit, like. Like, oh, I could make a whole movie out of just that. But the other thing I was going to say about Sandlot is fucking Heroes Get Remembered, Legends Never Die. Oh, that is like all-time cinema greatness. That is, you know, that'll be ripped off for till the end of time. That'll put the movie in.
Didn't he say right before that, like, most people are too busy looking for the opportunity that they don't see it when it goes spitting on their shoes or whatever? Like, I remember, like, those kind of moments are that everything I've ever learned, I've learned from movies moments where you're like, holy crap, I have to not miss my moment, man. You know what I mean?
Art of the Floor is great Babe Ruth.
Yeah, dude.
Art of the Floor.
One scene.
Did he pass away recently? I feel like he passed away recently.
Yeah.
No.
Was it last year?
No, he's still alive. I actually met him at the...
Who am I mixing him up with?
Not New Jersey Horror Con, but I went to the one in Cherry Hill. I think it was
Monster Mania. Or Chiller.
Monster Mania. And I met him, actually. Wonderful guy. I actually got him to see because he was also in Field of Dreams as a baseball player.
Yeah.
They had all the Field of Dreams guy here. And Live from Death Row. I got to actually talk to him about this TV movie that I actually showed at my famous B movie club. We showed Live from Death Row. And he was the
Which
cop
is so
in that.
Solid.
He was
so
also
good,
in a Hallmark
actually.
Commercial, too, for like an over 40s birthday card commercial. And I just. there was something about this moment they capture with him and that I always remember too. And I was like, I'll never be able to express to people about that. Oh, look at this. This podcast presented the perfect platform for me to be like, remember that commercial with that guy whose name we would have never known if somebody didn't say Art LaFleur earlier? Now all you people out there listening are like, I'm going to have to go on YouTube and find out what the fuck Art commercial this kid's talking about. But
I got him to actually sign it ribbed from his famous line from The Blob when he was the pharmacist. So,
oh, wow. Taking it back.
Yeah,
The Blob, 1988.
One of my favorite remakes of all time.
So horror movies are really big over the summer too, huh? It's sports.
Well, here's a little history for you. The most famous summer of horror ever, you know, was 1982, where we had all of these, you know, science fiction and horror that came. You know, 1 month it was Blade Runner, Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan, E.T., The Thing, Poltergeist.
Poltergeist feels like
American
a summer movie.
London, I think, was before that. But yeah, it was just a big time in the summer to release all of these epic movies. So, no, it actually makes
Lost
sense.
Lost Boys was a summer hit. Fright Night, I think, was a summer movie. Ghostbusters, obviously. So the summer is definitely not without its horror hits.
It's not easy butchering people. It's hard work. You know, there's a lot more like me.
We're talking to serial killers.
Serial killers!
New terminology.
Are criminals born, or are they formed?
How do we get ahead of crazy if we don't know how crazy thinks? It's easier to ask for forgiveness than for permission.
Welcome to the Hollow Nine Mindhunter Podcast.
Hey, this is David Clone from the Hollow Nine Network, just checking in saying, hey, what's up to all our Radio Haver fans listening to us from all around the globe. We want to thank you for all of the live streams during our programming, and a big thanks to Drew Carson for giving us the slot. We've got some renovations going on at the home base at hollow9.com. Pretty soon, it's going to have a whole new look and feel, so just get ready. Until then, keep rocking over at Radio Haver.
About the original blockbuster.
Jaws, yeah. Jaws.
Oh, here's an interesting thing. Let's not forget Jaws 2.
We just watched Jaws 2 for the first time. Longtime Jaws fans. Avoided the sequels. Jaws 2 is a perfect piece of garbage, but I think it's a 5 out of 5 movie. Chief Brody is so unhinged and crazy. And I'm in love with Roy Scheider. Roy Scheider is like my ultimate celebrity.
Go off on your Roy Scheider.
That's so I loved it. And like that to me is the perfect summer flick. Like teenagers get killed. There's a
half
shark.
The movie
a lady catches on fire. Like, thank you. That's all I need.
Because she covers herself in gasoline.
Yeah, well, she was trying to put the gasoline on the shark, though, right? I remember it's like the way she kind of almost has that, it looks like the end of Texas Chainsaw for a second. She's just screaming madly before she, like, goes up in flames. My favorite part of that movie is when they have all the boats that are capsized and all the kids have sort of, like, pulled a little bit of, like, a raft together. And there's that one boat that's off on its own and Jaws winds up coming out of the water and swallowing that one chick whole. I was like, that traumatized me. I was just like,
half of Jaws 2 is just boats getting stuck on rocks. I mean, half the footage is, oh, we're stuck on another rock, you know? Yeah. Oh, my raft is, oh, my sailboat is stuck. Oh, my pontoon is stuck.
We take these things out all the time, man. This has literally never happened to us before, but we grew up in the water. It's awesome.
My favorite line is when Brody is like, why is everyone on this island a boat freak? Like, it's an island, Martin. Do you not get it yet?
By the same token.
And the fact that He's so angry too because he had to take that role because he turned down De Niro's part in The Deer Hunter.
Yeah, I learned that recently. Wow, that's
I didn't
rough.
Know that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Universal was like, you have to make Jaws 2 or we're suing you.
It was his, as a much later, greater example, Mike Myers' Cat in the Hat, because he refused to do a movie, so he had to be the Cat in the Hat.
Wow.
Really?
Wow. Yeah.
We're part of a Mike Myers movie.
That makes sense. Well, that explains
back
a lot.
When people would, back when studios would sign stars to, like, you know, 5-picture deals at Universal. Mm-hmm. We don't care what you make, but you're making 5 movies. Your next 5 movies are for us. Like, there was a thing where, you know, summer movie star of his day, Van Damme, apparently Universal kept coming back to him, offering him more and more and more. And he was just coked out of his mind, be like, I want $200 million then. Like,
all right, just try not to hurt anybody, Dance Boy. Let's just get the next one done with less injuries on the land than on the last one. There are all these rumors he's not a martial artist, he's a dancer.
Hit the three.
He's really a dancer. He just follows choreography, and he's like hurt multiple stuntmen on multiple films. All this uncorroborated. These are like the cocktail party stories I've heard about him. Not at any Hollywood cocktail parties, though. These are just, you know, random cocktail parties.
I don't care what anybody says, though. Double Impact.
Oh,
that is
yeah.
Great acting, and that is great action, because I give him credit. There's always something that happens in Van Damme movies, all right? He fights Bo Leung. He will always Bolo Yang. And he will always
Who's amazing.
Get cut in the stomach. I don't know why that is his trick. He always gets cut in the stomach. Because
he can do that pantomime really well. The bent
Let's
over.
Not forget the... Let's not forget the obligatory splits moment. He has to do the splits in every movie.
Dancer.
And he has to show his ass. His ass is a heavily featured part in almost every single one of his movies. He'll just flash his ass for a little second just because he thinks he's the world's greatest ass.
Right,
you can totally tell. It's like Tommy Wiseau in The Room.
Universal Soldier, Bloodsport, Double Impact. He does a split while showing his ass, right? Or that's in boxer shorts. No, Time Cop.
Yes. Yeah, he's in his underwear. And that's how he stops from getting electrocuted. But interestingly enough, Van Damme only has chemistry with like 3 actors, and one of them is Van Damme.
So you just got to double down.
Like, he actually has a little bit of chemistry acting with himself. And he has chemistry with Bolo Yang. And he has chemistry with the guy who played... you know, Tong Po in Kickboxer, you know, in terms of a conflict sense, you know. Yeah. The only conflicts I've really believed, I guess Ron Silver in Time Cop, who's just, that guy's an amazing, gifted actor.
I kind of
like
Universal Soldier, man. But I think that's
Dolph Lundgren.
Dolph brings
a
lot
to
the table, you know.
Right.
So,
maybe 4 or 5 actors. One of those is fucking Van Damme, though.
I know Courtney and I are going to remember this, but one of my favorite things in Van Damme movies is when they always try to explain his accent somehow.
Yeah.
What is it? Death Warrant? It's like, you know, there's a cop on the radio and it's pure exposition of, you know, we got this Canadian officer exchange program. And so now we get this guy. This is the guy we get, Mr. Quebec over here. But then
they try to make him an American a lot of the times, too. And then they're like, okay, well, he's American, but he has this accent.
Yeah, what is
French mom?
Right?
Yeah,
they do that.
He was raised somewhere else.
Yeah, they do that Kickboxer where it's like, hey.
Because the parents got divorced.
Yeah, it's like,
and then he has that really weird, like, homoerotic relationship with his actual brother.
His brother.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
It's so good.
Yeah, no, they have that moment. It's like, remember when mom and dad got divorced and you went to Quebec and I went to America, but we found each other again like 20 years later? Yeah, brother, I do understand what you do. You know, it's just like, oh, so beautiful.
No, dude, it's so good in Time Cop.
You know,
he's like trying to talk dirty to his wife. He's like, I know all the good words. Like, she's like, you know, something like that. Like, she's saying like his accent, like, oh, with your, like, you know, he's like, you could read my mind. Like, with your accent, I don't have much choice. He's like, I know all the good words. It's like, woo, Van Damme, that is...
See, this is where Trump got it.
I love that. That's something, they just don't even explain it. But they do, of course, you know, they have the best one in Hard Target, where, you know...
Wait, they're from Louisiana. Oh, they're just
from Louisiana, people. So it's all good. You would speak, you know, this foreign French language.
An accent.
Street Fighter, totally legit, with the American flag tattoo on his bicep. I mean...
Then they have to, like, when they have to cast, like, young version of him, like, for Bloodsport, when it's, like, the kid version who breaks into the dude's house and almost steals the sword, they're like, what do we get? I think we got an Israeli kid for this, because he's like, you're not gonna call the cops, and it's just like, I don't know what that was, but it's not Van Damme as an adult, but it was just to show that he wasn't American.
You know what I mean? It's like, and then I don't know why this. He doesn't talk at all.
Smart move.
Maybe he shouldn't.
Yeah. I tapped into something there.
I mean, there's an endearing factor to, you know, how he... I'm not talking about his accent, but how he treats dialogue.
Yeah.
Like an alien.
That and his accent are two different things. One of them is him as an actor, and one of them is an accent. And I'm talking about him as an actor. So,
I'm going to justify all this because I remember seeing Universal Soldier in the theaters in the summertime, whatever year that came out. And so I'm like, all right, summer movie right there. Oh, man. Do we want to go back to summer movies, or do we want to stay in the Van Damme territory?
What's a movie in the summer you all remember going to see?
Well, Gremlins 2. Oh, my God.
I mean, Tim Burton's Batman jumps out as one of the first things for me that was just like, this is mega. And the summer of 89 was just mega in general.
Yeah.
But like,
Wasn't Dick Tracy close to that too?
You know, seldom in my life I feel like I really got to experience something that was like culturally massive. And Tim Burton's Batman was that. Terminator 2 was that.
Yeah.
Jurassic Park was that, but not quite as much as those other two for me. But really, like those two, you know, The Dark Knight was as close as I think we've gotten recently to something being like so mega, like even with the numbers that things do. And I love the Avengers movies and shit like that, but like maybe the first one was mega. I don't know. Can't stop saying mega.
Yeah, though. But it's hard. It's hard to explain what it was like for that to be happening in an era before the internet and before cell phones. Yeah. Like, you know, Jurassic Park, what was that, 93, 94, somewhere in there, 92. Mm-hmm. And I remember it was like, everything. Everybody was reading the book. Everybody had the toys. Mm-hmm. There were playing cards that were Jurassic Park playing cards. There was the soundtrack. We bought the sound, but that was when we just buy soundtracks to music movies that was just all classical music or whatever. Like there are no singles on this, but whatever. It was almost like the zeitgeist had a silent version of what the internet does now, flooding everybody with the, you know, oh my God, you got to have it right now mentality.
But think about all the merchandising that isn't there as much anymore because of the fact that you can get whatever you want online. I mean, like, posters, I think about going out and I think about the Star Wars movies and the posters in Jurassic Park, and, you know, there were posters and pajamas and you know, albums and books and all that kind of thing. And now I feel like the internet has made it so that you can just get whatever you want at any time, and there's no, what's the word I'm looking for? It's not unique, I guess. It's not timely or unique.
And the merchandise isn't selling the movie as much as the movie's selling the merchandise. Yeah. Like, you would be like walking through the store and be like, oh my God, Star Wars pajamas. Oh my God, is Star Wars playing here? Yeah. Let's go see Star Wars. Well, but now it's just Star Wars has instantly started streaming to your brain because you once bought it on Amazon. And now you can also buy, people also bought the pajamas, and the stuff will come up at the bottom here.
That was the infamous deal with Batman that, you know, for every I still to this day I love this fact. For every Batman symbol that got sold, because of his contract, Jack Nicholson got $2 for every Batman thing that you bought.
Holy cow!
Nice.
or a dollar. It was a dollar something. But that was part of his deal because nobody thought this Batman movie was going to do anything.
Really?
You know, they thought it was going to bomb because of the TV show. And you've got Mr. Mom is, you got Mr. Mom playing Batman. Really, the comedian Beetlejuice is playing Batman. that's going to bomb terribly, which we hear every single Batman, you know. But.
Well, do you guys remember when certain movies would be so big that when you'd put in the VHS tape, there'd be a little commercial before the movie selling you swag of that movie? There was one for Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead, which is a great summer movie. Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, another great summer movie.
Yeah.
Look Who's Talking, Batman 89. I think the Land Diet Before Coke, Time.
Diet Coke before the Last Crusade VHS. That's the one I remember.
Oh, fuck, dude. Oh, man.
There was all kinds of Coca-Cola and Warner Brothers stuff on the Batman 89 VHS when that came out. You know, there was the commercial with Alfred, and he's, like, bringing a Coke out on a tray, and the Batmobile comes up, but it was, like, Batman was, like, calling ahead to make sure he had, like, oh, I always make sure I'm messed away and has a Coca-Cola. There was, like, they had you, and that... I remember that VHS was like $100 when it first came out. There were times where, like, for a short amount of T2, you couldn't buy that on VHS. You could only rent it for a little while.
Because T2, when T2 hit VHS, it was a fucking cultural event. It was like you got some, like, it was like you got some type of fucking rare Colombian cocaine that they don't make anymore. Like, you got that on VHS at first. Like,
we got
like, holy shit.
I distinctly remember sending my dad. And I can't believe he did this, but it took 6, 7, 8 months for Jurassic Park to come out on VHS, you know, and it was out of theaters. You could not see Jurassic Park. I tried to explain this to my students now who just don't understand. They never will. And I don't expect them to, but like there was months where there was no Jurassic Park.
Right.
And
We're dying out here with no Jurassic Park, and they were neglecting to give it to us. They used to turn us into junkies from the minute the shit was shown on screen. They're like, "Now fuck you, this is never coming out again. If you didn't see it in the theater, just like if you didn't see the show on TV, you're never gonna see this.
But it came out. My dad went to Walmart at 5:30 in the morning.
Oh, shit.
And then this is Courtney, I don't know if you guys really remember this, but I know, you know, like Carrie and all of us, we remember this. But you remember like the big VHS, you know, display at Walmart that they would have in a movie? Okay, so you guys do remember. So like it was right there in the aisle. Dad grabs the movie. It was probably like, I don't know, probably what, $20 or something like that at that point, but yeah, anyway, he brings it home. I wake up in the morning. It's sitting on the kitchen table. I now have to go to school.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
The longest
and
day of my life. School would never end that day.
Suddenly wishing it was summer again.
And I had to walk home. I had to walk home.
So 5 miles uphill both ways.
Did you run that day?
Oh, Carrie, you know I did. I've never ran that hard in my life ever again. You know, like, and of course you watch it over and over and over, and then you know, like, I remember watching it like 6 times that night, and then you know, but I was the only one in school I think who got it. You know, that was the key. I had it; others didn't.
Oh,
so like, you know, I'm
poor little rich boy over here.
You've been listening to the Hollow Nine Network, bringing you the very best in fan-made media. That's the word hollow, the number 9, INE. Now broadcasting from our new home on the web, hollownine.com. where you can find info on all of our awesome programming as well as the team behind the shows. Leave us your feedback, join in the conversation, and be a part of the action. Find the Hollow Nine Network on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. Rate and review us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or wherever you find your podcasts. Email us at info@hollownine.com or at hollownine podcast@gmail.com. Join in the fun. Hollow Nine.
The New Jersey HorrorCon reputation is exploding. The atmosphere you guys have created. New Jersey HorrorCon was my entree into an actual horror convention.
Love it.
And you guys are doing a great job.
That is amazing. I'm super proud and super inspired to hear that. I mean, that's a testament to the community of cons and, you know, of horror and stuff in general.
Oh my god.
Oh, it's Carmen Electra.
Hey.
Wow, we are all giving high fives to an absolute icon.
This is incredible.
Trailblazer, amazing. You are amazing. Carmen Electra,
absolutely. Be well. Safe. Thank you so much.
Love.
Have a good one. Be well.
So
you can't see it on radio, but she's still
god.
Got it.
Yes,
that's
absolutely.
My wife right
still
there.
Got
my wife gets the picture of Carmen Electra.
The wife does it. There you go, wife. Good job, wife. That's a keeper. That wife's a keeper.
Are you having a blast?
I am having a blast. Are you having a blast?
I am.
This place is awesome, right?
What's your most favorite part of the whole day so far?
When the guy dressed like Gene Simmons from Kiss stopped in front of our booth and we put Strutter on and he did a lip sync to the whole thing.
Guys, if you haven't subscribed yet, go ahead and do that.
Yesterday I bumped into Michael Winslow. I got to have this whole experience where Leslie Easterbrook was lost and looking for her autograph table, and I got to take her all around.
It's spooky, actually. I'm going to turn the chair around a little bit
sure.
So I can see you.
Oh, all right.
Keep an eye on you. I saw you and I thought, this guy knows everything. Terrific sound in here with
cool.
you.
Cool. Thank you. Yeah, it's
really
amazing
clear.
How it... Damon Della Greca of Slasher, this awesome app.
I wanted to do something that would really make it for these people who just love to create, who love horror.
Thank you for what you're doing, dude. It's great that you put this together.
Absolutely, man. It's always good to see you.
We're trying to have as much fun, and we want people to have fun with us, and that's why we got guys like you stop by the table, hang out. We get to do the radio thing for a little bit.
He's from Jersey. I'm from the South, so.
And I'm from the Bronx, so.
So we're all still friends. That's good.
So we're all good. Daniel Frankenstein. I'm representing psychothematicmedia.com. Call ourselves a creative collective.
My name is Gail Bykowitz.
Yeah, I'm Hector De La Rosa. We're partners in crime here. We're doing special effects makeup, and we're also independent filmmakers.
When I ran into them earlier, they were definitely vampire cowboys.
I love Better Off Dead. I love Villain Ted's. And I'm just so glad that you guys remember
those
films.
Oh my god, those movies. I would go to school and just try and talk like Bill and Ted all day.
No
like,
triumphant.
I want my $2, man.
Right?
I have walked around wanting those $2 for how many years now?
This is fantastic.
We need some language lessons.
Dave the Clone from the Hollow Knight Network, and by now you know what it's time for you to do. Let's go on over to NewJerseyHorrorCon.com, get yourself some tickets, and check out this awesome event where we are lifetime sponsors. We will be there from now until infinitum with all these incredible guests that are going to be at the next one, bringing you all the awesome from the show floor right to your digital door, right here at Hollow9.com at the New Jersey Horror Con and Film Festival.
Did you get it? I hope you got it.
I got it.
That's good. See you soon.